Es gibt ein neues Buch auf dem Oldtimer-Markt, nämlich Niki Lauda, die Biografie. Und dazu haben wir den Autoren am Telefon, nämlich Maurice Hamilton, der allerdings Engländer ist und dementsprechend kein Deutsch spricht. Also machen wir das auf Englisch.
Und immer anschließend eine kurze deutsche Übersetzung.
Hello, Maurice.
Hello.
Maurice, let's start with some personal questions concerning yourself. Who are you and why are you an author?
Okay. My father took me to a motor race when I was 7 years old. And from that moment on, I was completely hooked on the sport and wanted to get involved in some way if I could. And I found that the best way in was to try and become a writer, to report on races. And I started in 1977 as a freelance writer. And since then, I've been writing for national newspapers, covering Formula One for BBC Radio. And I've been to over 500 Grand Prix starting in 1977. I'm not doing so many now, so I'm writing books. And along the way, I of course met Niki Lauda.
Also sein Vater hat ihn damals schon mit zum Motorsport genommen und 1977 hat er dann begonnen, als Autor im Rennsportbereich zu arbeiten, hat dann an über 500 Grand Prix teilgenommen und da natürlich auch Niki Lauda kennengelernt.
Did you have the chance to race yourself?
Yes, in 1978 I went to the Jim Russell Racing School in England to write a feature about how they trained young drivers. And the arrangement was that if I wrote the feature, they would give me some races. So I raced in Formula Ford in club races in 78 and 1979. And very much enjoyed that, but found that I really ought to be writing about it rather than doing it because I wasn't that good. The only other thing I've done since is that I'm very fond of, I follow rallying, and I've been a co-driver on quite a few international events for a friend and enjoyed that very much. But that's the height of my competition.
Dann habe ich ihn gefragt, ob er auch selber Rennen fährt. Also er hat einen Bericht über die Jim Russell Racing School geschrieben und da war die Bedingung, dass er selber mal fahren müsse. Er hat also dort Unterricht bekommen und hat dann auch selber ein paar Rennen gefahren, 1978, 1979. Aber er war nicht gut und danach ist er noch ein paar Mal als Co-Pilot mitgefahren und er schreibt lieber drüber, als selber zu fahren.
Okay, then let's switch to Niki Lauda. How did you meet him?
Well, as a fan, before I became a writer, I went to the Formula 2 race in England in March 1971. And this happened to be Niki Lauda's first race in a March in Formula 2, his first big international event. And I happened to take a picture of him. I don't know why I did, because he was virtually unknown. But I just, for some reason, just liked what he was doing, liked the way he went about it, and followed him. And then when I became a journalist in 1977, then I, along with other drivers, of course, but I interviewed him. I had my first long interview with him in 1982 at the Detroit Grand Prix. And from then on, over the years, did interviews. The last big one I had was in 2011, where we sat down at the Nürburgring and had talked for a good hour about his life and his career. And then there were subsequent interviews after that, smaller ones, but that was the main one. And yeah, got to know him very well, actually, and really admired him a lot for everything he did.
Dann habe ich ihn gefragt, wie er Niki Lauda kennengelernt hat. Also erstens war er Fan, dann hat er ihn 1971 beim Formula 2 Rennen mal hat er da Fotos gemacht, da war er noch komplett unbekannt. Aber irgendwie mochte er es, was Niki Lauda so gemacht hatte. 1977 wurde er dann Motorjournalist und hat ihn dann natürlich öfter interviewt. Sein erstes langes Interview hat er 1982 beim Detroit Grand Prix gemacht. Sein letztes großes Interview 2011 am Nürburgring, auch nochmal eine Stunde über seine Karriere gesprochen. Ja, und in der ganzen Zeit haben sie sich wirklich gut kennengelernt.
Can you say why he was such a good driver? What made him so special?
It's an interesting question, that, because he will never ever be considered as one of the really, really top drivers, such as Michael Schumacher or Ayrton Senna, people like that. And it's hard to understand why, because I think his style was very smooth and he didn't attract a lot of attention with the way he drove. He just was very economic in his style. I think the important thing for Niki Lauda was to think about his racing. So in other words, in 1984, when he won his last of three championships, he was up against Alan Prost in the McLaren, and Lauda accepted that Prost was younger and faster, and he decided that the way to beat him would be by using his brain, by thinking about the races, by setting the car up for the race rather than looking for pole position in qualifying, and looking after his tires, and just generally applying that thought process to his racing. And that's what he did in everything he did. He won as slowly as possible, which was Jackie Stewart's great phrase, and Niki Lauda was the same. Just he was surreptitious. He just didn't notice him so much, which of course is always the sign of a good driver. That a good driver who's fast makes it look easy is really a good driver, and I think that was the essence of Niki Lauda.
Auf die Frage, was das Besondere an Niki Lauda gewesen ist, hat er geantwortet, dass Niki Lauda eigentlich nie zu den Top-Drivern zählte. Er war nie der Schnellste. Er hatte eher einen ruhigen ökonomischen Stil und er dachte sehr viel über sein Fahren nach. In einem Rennen gegen Alan Prost dachte Niki Lauda, Prost ist jünger und schneller, also konzentriere ich mich mehr auf die Technik, auf die Reifen, auf das Fahrzeug. Also er hat es immer einfach gemacht, schnell auszusehen, aber es war nie einfach für ihn und er hatte mehr so den taktischen Drive. Some people say that he was, when he was in the racing car, a perfectionist, let's say something like this. Can you admit to that, and how was he in private life?
In the racing car, in everything he did, he was a perfectionist because that was just the way he lived. The way he ran his airline, it was the way he drove his racing cars, it was the way he thought about every aspect of his racing. So, for example, he had his fitness with Willy Dungo, and he worked very hard at being fit. He talked for a long time to his engineers, to the tire technicians, to the people who made the engines. He found out how everything worked and how he could use that to the best of his ability to extract the absolute most from it, because I think he accepted that he, as I said before, he wasn't necessarily as fast as, say, an Ayrton Senna, but he knew that he could make up for it by just applying himself. Now, the same thing happened then when he was retired and when he was out of the car, when you were talking to him, he would be very precise, and that was great, because if you were doing an interview with him, you would get a very precise answer. It would be very truthful, very direct, very honest. Sometimes some of the things he said might not have appealed to some people, they might have been too honest, but that's the way he was. And there was no nonsense with him, there was no, it was black and white, everything was black and white. It was very clear in his mind how things were. So if, for example, there was a big issue going on in motorsport, and there was all sorts of sides to the story, if you went to Niki and said, what do you think? He would give you a very clear explanation about what he thought. And it was always very precise. It wasn't, well, I don't know, or oh, I'm not sure. It was, right, this is what's happening, bang, bang, bang. Fantastic to talk to, fantastic.
Auf die Frage, ob Niki Lauda ein Perfektionist gewesen sei, hat er geantwortet, ja, überall im Leben, im Geschäftsleben, im Privatleben und im Rennen war er ein absoluter Perfektionist, auch in seiner körperlichen Fitness und auch mit den Technikern, den Motorenherstellern. Er war mit allen immer gut im Thema, weil er eben auch nicht der Schnellste war, musste er eigentlich der Perfekteste sein und kannte sich in allen seinen Motorbelangen absolut präzise aus. Und auch als er nachher im Ruhestand war, merkte man, wenn er im Interview Fragen beantwortet hat, dass die immer klar, sauber und ordentlich beantwortet wurden, nicht mit irgendwelchem Blödsinn. Und wenn es in dem Motorsport mal irgendwelche großen Themen gab, dann konnte man ihn immer fragen und er hat nicht rumgedruckt, sondern hat gesagt, das ist so, das ist schwarz, das ist weiß und nicht grau.
When you were together, what did you drink? English tea or Australian beer?
We would just, he tended not to drink that much during the day when he was working. He would perhaps have a mineral water, maybe a glass of wine, but generally speaking, he'd have a coffee, like coffee, and he would have, I think from memory, he would have espresso. I think probably from his days with Ferrari, he liked espresso. But generally speaking, no, I mean, I never actually had a dinner with him, so I can't really say what he had at night. I do know from colleagues that he did like a glass of wine at night, that's for sure, yes.
Auf die Frage, was sie denn mal getrunken haben, wenn sie zusammen waren, hat er geantwortet, dass Niki Lauda eigentlich nicht viel getrunken hat. Und wenn, dann eher Kaffee oder Espresso. Und er hat ihn eigentlich auch mehr geschäftlich gekannt. Also abends waren sie nicht groß auf Partys. Das heißt, da kann er eigentlich gar nicht so viel zu sagen. Aber er hat mal von Kollegen gehört, wenn, dann hat er mal eher ein Glas Wein getrunken. I think the turning point in his life and maybe in yours too was his nearly lethal accident in 1976, or wasn't it?
Yes, it was. I was actually at that race. And I remember coming home that night from the Nürburgring and being sure, after everything I'd heard from people, other journalists and other drivers, being sure that on the Monday morning when I woke up that he would be dead, that the news bulletins would be saying that he had not survived the night because the accident was so severe, because his burns were so severe, because he'd breathed in the fumes from the fire when the Ferrari had crashed. But of course we know that that was not the case. And even more remarkable was that 6 weeks later, he was back behind the wheel racing his Ferrari at Monza. And I think when I did the book on him, speaking to people, particularly journalists, and people who worked with him, who knew him at that time, they all said that the Niki Lauda after the accident was quite different to the Niki Lauda before the accident. And by that they meant that he appreciated life much more, he was more relaxed, he tended to be quite abrupt beforehand, but after it he valued his life, as you would understand, expect him to do so, he valued his life much more, and he appreciated life much more, and he perhaps was a little bit more relaxed. So yeah, there was a difference in him after that, but of course, the important thing is, it did not blunt his competitiveness. It did not blunt his wish to go motor racing. If anything, it accelerated it because he was even better after the accident than he was before. Because in the car, he was not so impetuous. He was much more measured in what he did.
Der große Wendepunkt in seinem Leben war natürlich der Unfall, der fast tödliche Unfall von 1976, da war er auch dabei und hat wirklich gedacht, er würde das nicht überleben. Der Unfall war so schwer und er hatte auch so viele Abgase eingeatmet. Aber er war 6 Wochen nach dem Unfall schon wieder auf der Rennstrecke und alle Leute, die er zu dem Buch befragt hat, haben ganz klar gesagt, dass er vor dem Unfall anders war als nach dem Unfall oder umgekehrt nach dem Unfall anders als vor dem Unfall. Er war relaxter, er war bewusster, er schätzte das Leben noch mehr. Und was ganz wichtig war, der Unfall hat nicht seinen Willen zu gewinnen gebrochen. Er war danach sogar ein besserer Rennfahrer als vorher. Okay, let's come to your book, Niki Lauda, The Biography. For whom did you write it? For Niki Lauda fans, for car racing fans, for biography fans, or what else?
I think all of those, to be honest, because it is written to tell the world about this man, what made him so remarkable. And so I'm explaining a lot of the things that we've discussed this morning today about what he was like as a driver, but also what he was like as a person, what motivated him, why he became a racing driver, how he carried out his career, how he managed after the accident, what he thought about when he was racing, but also to talk about the human being who was the owner of an airline. And there, I devote quite a bit of the book, because I talked to Niki about this, about how he dealt with the crash, the Lauda air crash in Thailand when 223 people were killed, and how he dealt with Boeing and took them on and challenged them because he felt that there was a fault in the aircraft and they were not admitting it, and he was proved correct. So all of that gives you, I hope, a great feel for the man's integrity, for his tenacity, and just would not give up on anything. And he pursued this right to the end. Then there are, towards the end of the book, there are reflections from, I talked to 34 different people who knew him, all walks of life, from mechanics, engineers, journalists, other drivers, businessmen, somebody from Lauda Air, Otmar Lenz, the CEO of Lauda Air, people like that, and asked them about this man. And they all paint the picture of the man that we're talking about. and hopefully all of those voices together will tell everybody, not just racing fans, but people who knew a little bit about him but not a lot, will tell them much more about an absolutely extraordinary character.
Auf die Frage, für wen das Buch jetzt genau gedacht ist, für Niki Lauda-Fans, für Oldtimer-Fans, für Motorsport-Fans, sagte er, dass das wirklich für jeden gedacht ist. Und er hat also in dem Buch geschrieben, was das Besondere an Niki Lauda war. Er als Fahrer, als Person, auch natürlich nach dem Unfall, was er dachte, wenn er fuhr, auch über seine Zeit als Eigner seiner eigenen Fluglinie, auch mit dem Flugunfall der Lauda Air, bei dem über 200 Menschen starben. Auch wichtig ist, dass Niki Lauda nie aufgab. Und er hat mit 34 Personen aus seinem Leben gesprochen, die alle zusammen ein komplettes Bild von dem Menschen Niki Lauda abgeben. Der preisgekrönte Autor und Journalist Maurice Hamilton, der Niki Lauda, wie wir jetzt gerade gehört haben, mehr als 40 Jahre lang begleitet hatte, führte für sein Buch Niki Lauda, die Biografie, zahlreiche Gespräche mit der Familie, mit Freunden, mit Wegbegleitern und mit Mitstreitern und heute auch mit uns mit Radio Oldtimer. Maurice, thank you very much for this very interesting interview.
It is my pleasure.
Maurice Hamilton, Niki Lauda, die Biografie. Es ist nicht einfach, perfekt zu sein. 400 Seiten mit Bildstrecke, Hardcover auch als E-Book. 24,95 € im Buchhandel oder unter www.edelbooks.com oder www.edel.com.